This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, just after 7 o'clock, 14 minutes after 7 to be precise. We've got a lot going on this morning. There's a lot to talk about. Did you know that human trafficking is the second largest organized crime in the world?
Oh, wow.
Superseded only by drug trafficking. The harsh reality is that unlike most items, you can resell a person over and over again.
Yeah, no, like when you say that, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's horrific. But it's not all doom and gloom. There is hope. Actor and activist Hlubi Mboya-Arnold, you know Hlubi, she's been a part of our family here for a long time. She's hosting a conversation with thought leaders and experts around the distressing topic of human trafficking, emphasizing how much hope there is in making a positive change in the cause. Hlubi's actually played a human traffic victim in a couple of movies and TV series, so she knows about it, and she's done a lot of research in this area. You can listen to Humans for Sale, which is now on at cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Humans for Sale. It's a scary and harrowing collection of stories and very personal narratives around what could happen and what does happen in the world. The podcast series is made in conjunction with an incredible foundation called the Hope Risen Foundation. These are people who work very, very hard to fight human trafficking, to rehabilitate the victims of it, and Pembani, who have made it happen. We wouldn't have been able to do it without them. Well, it's Monday today. And what do people ask mostly on a Monday?
Sure. How's your weekend?
How was your weekend?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's what people do. So last week we were talking about things that people say but they don't really mean. Ben, you weren't here, but we spoke about how important it is to say what you mean if you're going to build trust. And that is Coronation's pretty clever campaign that I've seen in the airport. It's called the Seen and Unseen, right? Even when managing money, things aren't always as they seem. And that's why Coronation look at the seen and unseen when investing your money. So we've been delving into the heard and the unheard. So, how was your weekend?
Yeah, like when you start an email. Hey, hope you had a good weekend.
Funny, I don't mind hope you had a good weekend that much because I don't think that's dishonest. Like, you really don't care mostly when you ask how was your weekend. But if you say to someone in an email on a Monday, hope you had a good weekend, it's kind of just a soft intro, really. It's a way of saying, hey, I know it's Monday, you've got a lot to deal with, but...
It's like a time and place kind of acknowledgement thing.
And it's then like a rhythm when you start an email that needs something, like hope you're well.
Just say hi.
It just feels like a real conversation, and you're not going to just go straight into, right, I need you to send me this by, you know, tomorrow. How was your weekend? And they don't have to answer you.
And they're probably not going to.
No, I'm sure they won't. But what they actually mean when someone asks, how was your weekend, is, I don't care how your weekend was... That's a rhetorical question, but I don't want to look rude, so I have to ask.
But that's just that you don't want to come across as being curmudgeonly and rude, especially not the first thing in the week.
Exactly. And it's like we said the other day, when you bump into someone you haven't seen for a very long time and you go, oh, we have to get together soon.
Yeah, I'll pencil it in.
What you unhear there is, no, let's not get together. And if we absolutely must, let's make it a very long time from now.
Yeah, like you always try to prolong it. So, yeah, cool, you'll make a plan. I'll call you.
We must.
We can like each other's tweets and Insta posts and be Facebook friends for life, but please, we don't really need to get together. You know, that's what people are saying. So what are some of the others?
Yeah, like when you're at a function and you bump into someone, you'd rather be at home and you meet someone and you're like, oh, it was so nice to meet you.
Ugh.
But what you really mean is, I'm going to forget your name in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And probably never see you again.
And yeah, exactly. Or like if it's someone that you have seen before, so nice to see you again. But what you really mean is, you know, I could have done without seeing you of all people.
Or it's been like, oh, it's been way too long. Oh, that's actually one of the things that come across a lot in my life. But what you're really thinking is, oh no, not you.
Thanks, Ben. Now we know.
Or when someone proposes a new idea and you say, that sounds great, I'll let you know. What you're actually saying is,
that's terrific, yeah, but.
That's really good. Actually, it doesn't sound great, but I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, these things could. Look, I'll be honest. I make those mistakes.
All the time.
/ truths.
Or it's even better if you don't like going out like me. and you hear from somebody, I don't think I'm going to make it out tonight. I'm not feeling well.
This almost sounds like a seerism as well.
It is a seerism. Seer's not here today. But what he actually means when he says that to us is, I should never have said yes to this. I don't really feel like seeing you anyway, and I'm much happier sitting on my couch watching Netflix. That's
drinking
what he does.
Wine.
Ugh, wouldn't anyone be?
Yeah, well, this is it, right? So we don't always say what we mean, and if you think about it, can we really trust other people to tell us exactly how it is when we hear things like this every single day? And I mean, these examples we've just given, this happens every day.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is top of the head stuff, which we all go through.
Right, people lying. Now,
everyone's lying.
Now, Coronation, which is an authorized financial services provider, is obviously all about how trust is earned and trust is built one word at a time. So let's just be honest. If you can think of any more examples that don't mean what is actually said, then send us a voice note or a WhatsApp on 079-748-2090, or you can connect on social media at cliffcentral.com. Hashtag Let's Be Honest, and we will include them tomorrow. If you missed anything, you'll find all the podcasts on cliffcentral.com. And by the way, we actually did get one this morning from somebody, because we've been talking about this now for a few days. And they said, where is this thing now? They said, oh yeah, when people say things and they don't mean them, or they mean things and they don't say them. It was a really great example, and I can't find it now. Damn. But if you want to send those along, send it with the hashtag Let's Be Honest. And we'll continue this conversation for the next few days. So if you've got any ideas of things that irritate you too, that people say but don't mean, or mean but don't say, then let us know about them.
The Money Magnet Seminar with successful multimillionaire Chad Engel is coming to Joburg.
So that Chad can continue being a multimillionaire with your help.
Learn Chad's money magnet secrets to attract wealth.
Secrets like attracting money with pricey seminar tickets and a six-book series.
It's difficult to trust nowadays. At Coronation, we believe that without honesty, there can be no trust. That's why when it comes to investing your money, we take everything into account, the seen and unseen. Ask your financial advisor about Coronation or visit our website for more information. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
All right, Ngobile's on the line. Should we go to him?
Always.
Hey, Ngobile, what's up?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, loud and clear. What's going on?
Oh, that's good. Sorry, man. Network issues. No, man. Yes. I wanted to actually bring to you guys, remember in the Valentine's Day, the whole fine thing of there's going to be a men's convention, and it became a meme here.
Are you talking about this whole thing around, like, what we've discussed so many times on the show about men and their relationship to women and the way they treat their children,
exactly.
And all. Like the stuff Craig Wilkinson talks about.
Exactly, yes, yeah? Yes. But unlike him, I feel he tries to be as, let's say, diplomatic as possible, in my opinion.
Okay.
But sometimes you need to just say things as they are, even though if it's an ugly truth.
All
for
right.
example.
Mm-hmm.
Give you guys an example of what is an ugly truth that people would not consider it PC is the fact that women like dudes overconfident and cocky. That's a fact. People don't want to acknowledge that fact.
They're like the bad guys. Leanne especially. She had exes who used to stab people in the head.
I love how we can laugh about that now.
speaking of stabbing attempts, but yes, but in my opinion, it is not that it's a bad guy. It's still more, this dude is just cocky. That's it. Sometimes he actually is a very good dude. The thing is, he's just very sure of himself. But there's a difference of that is that we really do need a real men's convention. If you hear me,
a meeting of all these guys to sit and talk about guy
like
problems?
The potato thing.
Hear me out. So what I want to talk about is the development of a young man. We have, 60% absent fathers in this country? Really.
Yeah, it's a big
and
problem.
Most of these young men are growing up fatherless. Therefore, they're learning all the negative parts of being a man from the types of dudes.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned with this whole blesser thing, it's actually way more rampant than people want to admit. And I was speaking to a couple of young lads over the weekend. So this young boy is like, I'm just going to get my degree, become an engineer, have lots of money, and then I'll get a girlfriend who wants me. So I was thinking your planning process is way wrong.
So hang on. What's your motivation for all of this? What's your involvement? Like, why did you start worrying about this stuff? Is it just because we've been talking about it a lot and you've seen a gap, or it's something you want to get involved in? Like, what's your story? Why are you interested in this?
No problem. See, actually, it's because I was part of that problem, right? So for me, this whole view of the masculinity and how men are started with a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, so honestly, about where I first met my good friend, where I was playing this good guy card all the time. And this girl cheated on me. And I was wondering, what did I do wrong? I bought the flowers. I was faithful. She had everything that I could give her at that time. But she still went around and, you know, played around. I wanted to understand why. And my friend, basically, he just blatantly told me, you're boring. You're safe. You're basically catering to her needs rather than you being yourself. You don't know who you are. And then he asked me a simple question. Tell me, who is Mobile? And then I was stuck. To explain as to who I am truly deep inside, I needed to obviously go through that journey of self-development and then self-discovery. Once you go through that self-discovery, then you'll be able to realize, wait a minute, I shouldn't be doing this just to get a woman. I should actually just be improving myself. The woman will come thereafter. The right. focus should be on self as a man and basically be more assertive and grow as a dude, being good at being a man.
Develop your character and develop your personality and have a reason to get up in the morning with or without someone in your life, and then that person will be attracted to you eventually.
Exactly. And now what I see is, the reason I'm having skin in this game is because I see many, many young men, and I have basically two young boys, and I have younger brothers. And when I see my younger brothers, that is, one of them is to me what I call an AFC, an average frustrated chump. And the other one is more, let's say he's learned now, because I was more involved in his development. So when I see the construct between my two brothers, I see one is so mainstream media. He believes all the hype, the Valentine, the this. And I say to him, my guy, do you not see that you're actually hurting yourself in the long run?
Right.
He's still to this day, he's resistant, fair enough. He can learn the hard way. But the other guys, his friends and all that, and then I state to them, this is where you're failing with women, is that you're putting women in a pedestal. That's your problem. You should not be doing that. You should be putting yourself on the pedestal, develop yourself, do things for you. Once you are sorted, then you'll be able to know, me as a person, I need a particular woman who will ride with me in this way. Once you know who you are, then you know how to pick a woman. But if you're actually picking a woman based on superficial stuff, like, oh, she needs to have a nice ass, nice boobies, it's not going to work anyone, because now you're more focused on the superficial rather than on the deep spiritual. And the thing is, young men are so super hypersexualized. That's a problem. We are so super hypersexualized.
All right, listen, there's a lot going on here. I mean, we could spend hours unpacking this. You want to basically put together a convention for men?
Yeah, actually, and I've been reaching out to many other organizations that, for example, the one that does for young boys. I'm just waiting for feedback on the other one that helps the teenage boys also.
Right.
I just want to basically organize a real convention, a real men's convention, whereby I'm not talking politically correct stuff. I'm talking we're going to speak real truth, where we're saying, as a man, this is the reality of the world. People don't like you for this and this. Because you are this and this. Don't play a victim. Take responsibility. Basically, not talking.
I don't want to take up the whole morning, but this sounds very good.
Yes.
You know what? Keep us updated, because you've called the show a couple of times. People know who you are. And let us know when this thing's ready to get going and people can get involved.
If you don't mind, can I punt my channel?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Sure. So if people are interested in to see the type of material that I'm basically trying to publicate, I do have a YouTube channel. It's called Black Oxymoron. Black Oxymoron.
Okay.
So that you can just check the first two videos, Dear Man, I have, which is a message to all the men out there, and Who Kills Chivalry, which is basically an investigation as to why chivalry's died and why men are responsible for it.
All right. That sounds good, man. Good luck. Mobile, thanks. Cool.
Cool.
There we go. Wow. Some heavy stuff on his mind this Monday morning, but at least he's doing his bit to make things better.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of the stories in the news this morning. I know you're going to... Ben and Leanne send each other cat pictures the whole time. So maybe we should start with that. A cat got stuck in a washing machine.
Oh, no.
Yes. But has lived to tell the tale.
What, did it go through a full load?
It went through a full cycle.
Jeepers.
Warm water, cold water, rinse, everything. So his name's Felix, and he looks like a Felix. You know, he's a tuxedo cat.
How did the cat get into the washing machine?
Well, cats do this. You know, you pile in a bunch of just worn clothes.
Yeah.
Turn your back for a second, and that's what happened with this woman. She turned around. She turned away to go and get more clothes.
That's no excuse. If you've got a cat, you've got to always be vigilant to these kind of things.
Well, she usually does. She usually checks the washer and the dryer to make sure that none of her three cats have climbed inside. But she had missed her mind the one day, and she shut the door without thinking, put on an express wash. 35 minutes later, when the cycle was done,
oh my God,
she opened the door.
Poor animal.
You can hear when a load is heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I don't know. So there
was there something else in there at least, like a towel?
Yeah, there
or
were
something?
Clothes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you see, cats do get into things.
That's it.
Like cats always climb into boxes and they always climb into places where they can feel.
Yeah, sure. That's what they do. They're on an endless quest of finding hidey holes.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of it happen before with two little kittens that were actually lying in the duvet cover on the floor. And the cleaners scooped that up and put it into the washing machine. Those kittens didn't survive. But Felix is a strong little cat.
Wow. I mean, it's almost like being pushed underwater the whole time. You know, someone pushing
your head
underwater.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
the poor thing couldn't have.
She saw his little white paw sticking out from the wet laundry.
Oh, my God.
Quickly called her father, who raised them, to the animal emergency center. He had lost his vision. They don't know if it's permanent or not.
Oh.
He had pneumonia because of the amount of water in his lungs. But apparently he's doing so much better now. He has started eating. He's starting to see things. He's still on oxygen. And she's obviously said, I'm never going to forgive myself. This is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. So her daughter, without her knowing, set up a GoFundMe appeal for Felix to help offset the rising medical bills. They've already paid $7,000 for this.
Sure.
And the GoFundMe account was set at a limit of $10,000, and they've made $9,500 and something.
Wow. Okay, almost there.
Yeah, almost there. Shame.
But I feel sorry for this cat. What a nasty thing to have.
35 minutes.
Jeez. I don't think a human would survive that. If you scaled it up and made it like a human-sized thing, first of all, you're smashing against those hard surfaces the whole time. I mean, it's designed to wash clothes.
It sounds like the washing machine's going to take off when it's spinning.
I know. It goes really fast. This poor animal.
Imagine how dizzy he must have been.
Well, okay. I'm glad Felix survived, but yeah. Man, what a horrible thing to happen. Now, while we're talking about cleaning, there are some things that you have in your house that you don't realize you should be cleaning. Now, this stuff always makes me paranoid because I like to have things tidy and organized and, you know, clean surfaces, you dust things, you clear out. I'm thinking about the washing machine. I'm thinking about the tumble dryer with that fluff.
Yes.
That you have to clear out of the tumble dryer.
And some people don't, and that can be flammable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's really important to do that after every wash. Right, but the other things...
Let's go through a list here. Everybody get out your checklist.
Yeah. Think about... I'll be interested to know if you do clean these things. Remote controls?
Yeah, I do. That's a good one.
Unless somebody else is cleaning mine, I don't know, but I'm not.
So you don't?
No. I've never thought of it.
No, they're revolting.
I clean my laptop and my phone. What about like your Xbox machine and the controls?
I've got a PlayStation 4, but I use it to play DVDs off of, and honestly, it doesn't get much use. Usually what has to happen there is dusting. That thing needs dusting, that's all.
Your fridge, especially the bottom shelf?
Yeah, that's fairly regular.
That's actually very interesting because people forget about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I clean out the fridge.
I think Ben just got hand wipes or something.
Multi-surface cleaning wipes. These things are really important because your laptop, you know, like we use our laptops all day, right?
Sure, of course.
Now, if you have to go and clean your remote, imagine the need to clean your laptop.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because you use it probably 1,000 times more in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about if your fridge has an ice maker? I actually detached mine because I thought it was gross that I was having water that passed through a whole lot of machine parts.
Yeah, exactly. Which don't get cleaned.
Yeah.
It's like the water dispenser as well.
Oh, my God. Yes.
There's water dispensers that need to be cleaned all the time.
Hairbrushes and combs. Mm-hmm. I saw a story quite recently of a girl. I do it sometimes. I put my hairband on my wrist.
Yeah.
And she was obviously as manky as shirts, firstly. And
yeah, obviously, like it.
Had it on for a number of hours, but she developed an infection and had to have her hand amputated.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Obviously, the washing machine, it's quite easy to clean a washing machine. You just put it on a normal cycle and a bit of vinegar in the soap dispenser. Yeah.
Oh. Who knew?
Who knew?
Look at you full of, you're like the Martha Stewart of our Mondays.
Yes. Light bulbs and light fittings.
Yeah. Need dusting.
Well, also with the heat around those.
And also all the insects inside them.
Yeah, good point.
Nothing worse than you have to change a light bulb and you get into that light, the sort of...
And it's actually sticky with oldness.
But it's got all those crusty dead insects in it as well. You have to clean that out.
And those are a fire hazard as well.
Oh, boy. It's flammable as well?
Yes. And all the lint and things.
What about doorknobs?
Doorknobs, yeah. Also also yes. Light switches.
Light switches, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in toilets.
Your yoga or exercise mat. I mean, just hose the thing off, you know. Also, you can use apple cider vinegar and water to do that.
You mentioned one before, the washing machine. Just go back up your list. There was something I wanted to talk about there.
Hairbrushes?
Yes. You know, in a hairdresser, they always have those... things with the blue liquid in it.
Disinfectant. Yes.
It's got like there's a name. I can't remember what it is. They always put the combs and brushes and things like that in there because you have to. People have all kinds of stuff in
there. I've got a separate brush for when my hair's not just washed.
Oh, right.
So I like to brush my hair before I get into the shower because usually I wake up with a bird's nest at the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use my greasy hairbrush.
Ugh.
Yeah. But I put it in the shower with me every now and then
okay.
and give it a clean with shampoo.
I clean the stuff in my shower. Like I have bottles and things of, you know, shampoo or whatever.
Or even the racks.
Yes, sure. I clean that off as well.
And that reminds me of dishwashing racks.
Oh.
I mean, they have to be clean. They get all the sticky, gunky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not good.
I just want to go home and wash my whole house. Put my whole house in the washing machine on a 35-minute cycle.
This is my worst. Oh, like,
and I don't have a dirty house, but this stuff makes me paranoid.
Yeah. Like bathroom counters, countertops.
Mm.
You know, often the guest loo will have decorations in it, like a wrapped soap or
and it's all dusty.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Been in there for 100 years.
And also... the bottom of your toothbrush glass. I've had a situation before where I've picked out my toothpaste and the bottom had mold on it.
Oh my God, no! Yeah.
So now I actually let my toothbrush air dry, not in the glass.
Jesus.
Ugh. Curtains, you need to give those a vacuum or a shake or something and then a wash every now and then.
No, they don't just stay clean. Nothing does.
One of the most germ-filled places in your home... according to a research technician, is your shower head.
Oh, really? The inside of it?
Yeah.
Ah, good point. Yeah.
So what you can do, what I usually do is I unscrew it and I soak it in some of those salts that dissolve scale.
Yeah.
But what you can also do is...
Again, a bit of vinegar can do
vinegar
that
in
well.
A bag with some water,
so
a plastic bag,
and
then tie it on.
We need vinegar in our lives. This is what this whole thing boils down to.
Vinegar is good. Exactly. It's important. It's valuable stuff, that.
Another thing are your refrigerator coils at the back. Those are also a bit of a fire hazard.
Oh, I've never cleaned the back of my fridge.
You know what it's like if you're moving or something and you move something, it's like, oh my word, was that real?
You're right. That I should look at that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Something I always
think about. I've got so much homework now. I've drawn up a list of like 3 pages.
Something I always think about are the grocery bags that we use and reuse.
Yes.
We use and reuse. I've seen some terrible, you know, you go to the till and you hand over the bag I've seen people handing over bags with like pet hair on them.
Ugh.
That's all going onto the counter. So yeah, you should be able to wipe them clean at least.
Who made up this list? It's one of those people who wants us all to be...
It's a website called Best Life.
Best Life.
Mm.
Look at this. Made me absolutely crazy now.
Your keys.
Yes.
I mean,
no one thinks about
I've
that.
I've never cleaned my keys.
You have those keys on you the whole time, and they could be carrying all kinds of filthy stuff on them.
Mm. Sure. And lastly, the coffee maker.
Mm.
I suppose the fancy ones have got like self-cleaning facilities.
They can clean the pipes and the tubes inside, but the outside you have to clean yourself.
And my sleeping Jesus, I have to clean that once a week.
Yeah, that's probably really gross.
You're breathing right in there.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, how's that going, by the way?
It's going well.
Every now and then we get an email from someone who's asking about your sleeping patterns and whether or not you're able to get that under control.
No, it's going really well. It's not the most comfortable thing to wear, and you are aware of it all the time. But at least I'm getting some good hours.
All right. Woody says here that he fully agrees with Ngobile. Why change yourself for your partner? When they were attracted to you as you are, like the lyric from Imagine Dragons, I'll never change who I am. That's right. So how do you like that? Woody agreeing with Ngobile. It's very rare that people agree. Mostly people find reasons to disagree. All right, can we get Yvonne in here? I'm very keen to talk to her. Yvonne Johnston is the Marketing Achievement Awards Council Chairperson, and she's somebody who we've spoken to before on the show. It's always good to see her and catch up. There's apparently a Marketing Achievement Awards, a big ceremony that's going to be happening. They celebrate the excellence in the science and the art of marketing. The awards recognize and reward successful marketing initiatives and thought leadership in the South African marketing industry. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome her to the studio this morning. Yvonne, how are you?
I'm amazing. Thank you. How are you?
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, you're one of those people who haven't changed. I've been around so long, I've definitely got older. You seem to have just you've stayed exactly the same through all of these trials and tribulations.
The good thing about getting older is that your eyesight fades, Gareth.
Well, I don't know. You're looking very together.
Thank you.
So tell me about the Marketing Achievement Awards and what this is all about. Because people always go, oh no, another awards ceremony. Sure. What is this? And is there in marketing and in advertising in particular... is there a specific need for this, and how long has it been going? Who's involved?
Basics. So it's a brand new initiative. This will be the first time we're actually getting to the gala dinner and the celebration of it. We sensed that there was a gap in the market for looking at marketing.
Yeah.
There's creativity, there's all sorts of other awards, there's effectiveness awards, but nobody was looking at the strategic side of marketing.
You've been involved in marketing your whole life.
Yes, less so now, since I left Brand South Africa, less, and that's 11 years. But yeah, it's kind of in my blood.
So do you think marketing's underrepresented in an awards context?
I think it's underrepresented all over the place. I think it's underrepresented on boards, very often on expos. Mm-hmm. It's the department that people go to raid the budgets in.
Right.
And it's in truth, it's the driver of business.
When we're in an economy like we are at the moment, where people are cutting costs wherever they can, cutting costs in marketing can be very dangerous, because sometimes that's the only way that you can increase income.
Exactly. But it's an easy place to raid, because many CFOs, for example, just see it as an expense.
Yeah, and they want what they call
and they want bottom line.
ROI,
yes,
and
they
say,
well, line.
Why is this costing us so much, and how can you prove to me in numbers that it's working? But marketing isn't just numbers. There's a little bit of magic involved there too.
There's always magic, and there's always creativity, and there's what we've tried to really focus on these awards was the strategy and the innovation in the thinking. So we've tried to, even in the entry forms that we requested, we just wanted you to highlight strategy and thinking. So we didn't want long detailed plans that we had to plow through. We just wanted to keep it very, very simple.
All right, so the finalists have been revealed.
Yes.
The winners will be announced at a prestigious gala dinner you've already mentioned on the 27th of June at the Sun City Super Bowl.
Yep.
And we've decided to bring Yvonne here to tell us more about the awards, to discuss how something like this will elevate the marketing industry as a whole. So can we talk about some of these finalists, and maybe not in particular what their businesses are, what they've done, but what kind of things? You said strategy.
Okay,
what exactly are you looking for?
Before we go any further, I'm merely the chair.
I know.
So I have not got involved purposefully in the operations
of this
whole thing.
You're not a judge or any of that.
I'm not a judge. Yeah. I'm just the holder of the meetings, and I whip people into shape from time to time, and I give some moral and strategic support. So the detail you need to speak to Anne about. but I do have a list of the finalists.
Okay.
And I think that what's important in this is that we've really striven to find people who are thinking differently, who are being disruptive, who are kind of leading the industry. We want to make people say, wow, marketing really is important to my business. Maybe I shouldn't cut the budget. And to get the importance of the role that it plays in developing a business.
Now, there's massive pressure on people who are the marketing bosses in various companies to, first of all, innovate, because you've got to be seen to be original and creative.
Yep.
There's more of a premium on that than there is in the finance department.
Yeah.
They don't want you to be original.
Creative there. I fear some people are. But yes.
But in marketing, there's that extra pressure. Plus, there's then this whole thing of account for this and show us how you manage the expenses, because otherwise those can go sky high. And it seems that we, even though we're churning out students of marketing, left, right, and center from universities and other institutions, that to get to the real cream of the crop is a lot harder than people imagine.
Yes, I think it is. And I think even identifying those people is difficult, because the skills training is difficult. It's as you said right at the very beginning, for me, there's always got to be a little bit of flair and a little bit of magic. Oh. And what is it that makes you're in this business? What is it that makes an idea go viral? What is it that captures the imagination of people? It can be the weirdest thing. I mean, if you look at some YouTube videos and they've got 49 million views, and you look at them and they think, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's about some kid with a funny hairstyle or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are no rules in this game. But what we do want to do is to give a bit of gravitas and make people appreciate the level of thinking that goes into a really well thought through strategic marketing plan.
But those pressures that I just mentioned, a lot of them also have to do with the fact that marketing's changed so much.
Ah, dramatically. And that's where I have to confess, I feel a little bit like a dinosaur sort of looking back on my old territory. Because since I was there, the world has completely changed. And I always prided myself on being quite innovative and out there when I was in that space.
Yeah, but it's still the experience that counts. I mean, I have a digital marketing agency of my own, and everything's changing. I can't keep up with the social media changes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will still do better as an agency because of our 40 years of experience.
Sure.
And media relations and just relationships that we've grown over the years.
I think that's fundamental to any business, to be honest. It's about the relationships and the people and how you I mean, all marketing is what's in it for me. And do you get me? Do you get my needs? What's shifted is the consumer has become so much more demanding and has so much more access to information.
Mm.
That's the big shift, really.
I remember
how to find them.
When you used to buy products and there was a consumer helpline, if you were lucky, on the product label.
Yeah.
Now, you have thousands of ways you can get hold of them. You can, first of all, and people do this, they go onto social media and they just argue
straight
with
onto
the
Facebook.
Brand directly.
Straight over to Twitter.
And they never do that when they have a good experience. Yeah. It's usually when something horrible's happened.
Yeah.
And they go on there and they bitch and complain. But
you see, that's the opportunity to do reputation management.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that we're measuring in these awards is reputation management. Because reputation management is a very particular skill. I mean, you know, after 7 years in government, I've walked these passages very well. How do you manage the reputation of a person, of a place? I look at the Brand South Africa fallout recently that I've had to witness.
Yeah. Right. I mean, tell me about how that, with your experience there, and I don't want you to get into arguments or any trouble here, but Brand South Africa is a really difficult one to put out there, because you have to find things that are internationally applicable, first of all.
Sure.
And what you're really doing is you're trying to be the PR for the country.
That's exactly what you are. You are the public relations for the country. And I always felt right from the very beginning that we couldn't wait for the country to be perfect before we started marketing it.
Yeah.
So what we had to do was ride the bicycle and change the tire at the same time. And we had to look for what was good and great and beautiful and wonderful and promote that. And I think really importantly, put the issues firmly on the table and acknowledge the issues. So people don't mind if you acknowledge the issues. They mind if you gloss over the issues,
right,
because there's a lack of authenticity. But if you put the issues on the table and say, and this is what we're doing to solve those problems, it becomes much easier to do. And so that was always our strategy, is let's find the good and great stories and let's promote the hell out of them. And it's often, sadly, easier in international media than in local media.
Sure.
And I mean, we could get stories onto the front page of the New York Times that they wouldn't put on page 17 of the Star. You know, so there was an issue there. But at the same time, it was about saying, yeah, of course we have issues, but this is how we're thinking about them. This is what we're doing about them.
And that word you mentioned just now, authenticity, is massively important.
Oh,
because these days people have various ways of checking on your authenticity.
Absolutely.
They can, first of all, research things themselves. There is a wealth of information available online. But they can also tell from a tone whether or not you could be believed or not.
Well, that's it. And that's the field I'm in now. I'm now doing executive coaching and leadership development. And for me, that's it. It's about the being. It's about who you are every time you speak and every time you walk into a room and what people say about you when you've left.
Well, I don't feel bad about asking you this, because you would you'd tell me to piss off if you didn't like it. But if you had to be in charge of Eskom's PR, where would you even begin with
on
a
my
monster
knees
like that?
In a state of prayer.
I would have given up before I even started.
I think there's always a solution. Sorry?
SAA for that matter. Where would you begin to like try and reestablish public confidence? And it's just at such an all-time low in those state-owned enterprises.
I think it's we're in a crisis in those two organizations, without a doubt. Mm. And I think good people have gone in and tried and failed. Mm. And that's sad. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to start. To be honest, I'm intelligent enough to say no if the job was offered to me.
Exactly.
You see these poor people who accept the job of and you think, what a horrible thing you've done to yourself. Yeah. All right, well, let me give you some information about the awards so that you can find out more about these. They've got a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. They're also at marketingawards.co.za, and you can find out more by going to marketingsummit.co.za as well. I've got to quickly tell you, if you don't already know about Yvonne, her career is focused largely on advertising and marketing. For 20 years, she worked in many of the leading advertising agencies as a director of those media agencies, spent 5 years as group media director of Ogilvy & Mather. These days, she focuses on using her substantial business experience, as she just said, as a business and consciousness coach, guiding people to maximize their full potential. And she has facilitated business strategy sessions looking for innovation that brings bottom line results to clients. And obviously these awards are about measuring that.
Absolutely.
Only the ones who've really done an incredible job will get on the list.
And putting the spotlight on them and honoring the people, because often those are the people who don't even get recognized or acknowledged. And I think it's important to do that.
Well, I'm very excited about the awards. They'll take place at Sun City on the 27th of June. And
this week.
That's right. It's happening this week. Sun City's a fun place to go for these things. Yeah. You were there during the heydays of the ad world, where advertising
Absolutely.
Was still the sexiest thing in town.
Yeah.
People were spending fortunes of money trying to get ads on TV and on radio and everywhere else. I mean, how's that industry changed? You've got lots of friends who are still knee-deep in it.
Oh, yeah. It's completely changed. I mean, I sort of look back and I say, thank God I had my time when I did, because I look at it now and it's a whirlwind. It's a whirlwind. But it's always an exciting place to be. I mean, I've always been turned on by exciting thought and people who challenge thinking. I mean, I think that's a very exciting environment to work in.
Well, I'm very happy you got the time to come and speak to us this morning, because I know you must be busy this week. Good luck with the awards.
Thank you, Gavin.
I know your work is mostly done now. It's up to these people to walk up on stage and be rewarded. But thank you for coming to spend some time with us. All right, we've got to wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. Thank you to Yvonne Johnston. And we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 for the rest of it. Make sure you don't go anywhere. We've got a full lineup of interesting stuff on cliffcentral.com for you today. All right, here it is, the un-news. Do you want to hear the most important stories of the day? Well, you're in luck because it's all right here for you. Let's get straight into that. And Leanne, you're here tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Ben is not. Ben will be back on Friday.
I will.
Right, Ben.
Is Sia back tomorrow?
Sia's back tomorrow. It's all. Lovely. It's almost like a timeshare on the show at the moment.
Yes.
There are people who come in, people who go out, people who come in, people who go out. It's very exciting. Yvonne's looking at this going, how the hell do you run this place?
No, I'm not.
All right, very good. That's all we got time for this morning. Let me get into the un-news for you today. Here are the biggest stories in the news. First of all, Cyril Ramaphosa had a great weekend planning his new ultra-modern city. He's assembled a naming committee to get things going, with the following names being considered. First of all, Wakandla. Second of all, Cyril Fontain, Newburgh, Amandla Dam, and China Africa. The last name may provide an indication of who's really going to make the city. Yeah. New studies have shown how much coffee you should be drinking in a day. One cup is enough for a desired caffeine hit. Two cups if you're hugely boring and want to seem like an expert of the drink. Three cups if you're socially awkward and you have nothing to talk about outside of coffee. And four cups if you aren't strong enough to become a vegan or a CrossFitter, but demand to be seen as an individual. And finally, the Proteas may be out of the World Cup from a semi-final perspective, but they still have much to do from a work point of view. First order of business is trying to find Otis Gibson a new job. They'll need to try to get Faf du Plessis a magazine feature, as his tan right now is looking really great after a few shirtless training sessions. But that's really all they've got to look forward to. That's the Proteas disappointing us at every turn.
This is CliffCentral.com.